We're in Psalm 18, verses 4 through 31, gaining God's consistent help. We need to know how to gain God's consistently due to continual or repeat problems that we face. The whole world continually faces influential, troublesome leaders. Much of the world was shocked that Russian President Vladimir Putin actually went through with his threat to invade Ukraine, but in 1996, Osama bin Laden issued a fatwa and called on Muslims to wage jihad against the enemies of God. Your enemies, the Israelis and Americans. We ignored his warnings and he launched the attacks on September 11, 2001. In the 1920s, a failed Austrian painter published a book in which he explained his intention to build an Aryan superstate in Germany and take revenge on Europe and eradicate the Jews. The world ignored Adolf Hitler's words and paid a terrible price. Now we need to pay attention to what China's leader Xi says, for he has laid out his intentions to reunify Taiwan with the Chinese motherland just as clearly as Putin laid out his intention to reunify Ukraine with Mother Russia. Yet to handle such men, we now have a feckless President Biden. Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense in the Obama and the George W. Bush administrations, once said that Biden has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the last four decades, and yet he's president. We face ongoing problems with woke ideology. Jay Bergman, who's a professor of history at Central Connecticut State University, he also serves on the board of the National Association of Scholars, in an op-ed wrote last month, Central Connecticut State University established a new policy designating faculty, administrators, and nearly all other employees as mandated reporters, required to report any information they come across pertaining to gender-based discrimination. Well, as a historian of the Soviet Union and international communism, he wrote, I find CCSU's policy of mandatory reportage reminiscent of the requirement of Soviet citizens when millions were starving to death in the 1930s. That they unmask peasants hoarding grain by reporting them to the NKVD. That's an acronym for the political police. Mr. Bergman expressed concern that this policy will leave CCSU enforcing a stifling orthodoxy its faculty are too intimidated and fearful to challenge, undermining the very reason universities exist. Then the editorial Differences Not Hatred reported how around 120 Yale law students recently targeted Kristen Wagoner, general counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, at a Federalist Society event for her defense of the right of a Colorado baker who declined to bake a cake for a same-sex couple's wedding celebration based on religious convictions. The point of the session was to show that individuals with strongly held beliefs can express themselves and debate respectfully. Upset over the actions of these law students, a prominent federal appeals court judge, Lawrence Silberman, sent an email to other federal judges stating that all federal judges, presumably committed to free speech, should carefully consider whether any such students so identified should be disqualified for potential clerkships. Nevertheless, when asked last week at a congressional hearing what a woman is, Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson said she couldn't do so, because she was not a biologist. Her fear of far-left woke ideology inhibited her from stating the obvious. Incidentally, in our conclusion, we will give the definition of what a woman is. We face ongoing fiscal problems in Congress. Congress has discovered that federal taxes are obsolete because the government can create money by infinity. As long as the Federal Reserve is ready to monetize government bonds, and as long as nobody cares about the devaluation of the currency that results when the increase in the money supply outruns not just national production of goods and services, but since the dollar is the reserve currency for the world, international production as well. So we ask, how can we consistently gain God's help? We sure need it. The passage that we have in front of us, Psalm 18, verses 4 through 31, actually deals with David's testimony of how God consistently gave him help throughout his life. The psalm is looking back over David's life, and David is looking at how God has helped him with his enemies, given him victory as a king who's had to go to war a lot, and how he's gained this victory over his enemies, and that by God's help. And of course, you look at David. David had a lifelong relationship with the Lord, and God had helped him for a long period of time. So he's got something to say about gaining God's help. Well, recalling God's rescues from his many foes, David voiced deep appreciation for the Lord. That's verses 4 through 19. He testified how God had miraculously rescued him from certain death in verses 4 and 5. Then in verses 6 through 19, David expressed how God's help had come like a great storm to destroy his enemies. This is important because David lived in the era where the Philistine, the enemies around them, worshiped the god Baal, and the god Baal was a god of the storm. And so David's saying, wait a minute, Baal isn't the true God, my God's the true God. So he makes his true God the god of the real storm. Now, God's reason for so delivering David over the years is explained in verses 20 through 31 as follows. David asserted that God had delivered him over time because of his righteousness. Let me just briefly read that. In verses 20 and 21 of Psalm 18, David says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he paid me back or recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." However, as noted in Psalm 18, verses 22 to 31, David's uprightness was based on his obeying Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 through 20. That's a command that God gave to kings. David testified that his righteousness had resulted from his practice of keeping God's judgments before. That's what the King James Version says, verses 22 and 23. But the word before actually means in front of or conspicuous to. It's a Hebrew word, neged. Now, this action refers to the practice God had directed for Israel's king in Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 19, that he make his own copy of the scripture and keep it with him that he might read from it every day of his life. This practice would make the king revere God, obey scripture, and restrain him from being arrogant with his subjects so that God would bless him. See, there's an innate power in scripture because scripture is God-breathed. It's under the authority of God. Every time you read scripture, you're getting exposed to words and thoughts and concepts that are so powerful, it's as though God himself is speaking them when you read them. That's why it's always valuable to read scripture. And David was supposed to read, and all the kings, they were supposed to read from scripture daily. As they read from scripture daily, they would be exposed once again to being influenced by God and God's word and God's thoughts. And that would affect his behavior. That would keep him from becoming proud so that he would recognize that he was very fortunate to be the king. But his job was to help his subjects. That's why he was a king. That's why anybody's in leadership. You're supposed to help the people under you. That's why you're there. You're not supposed to take advantage of them. Well, this practice would help him revere God, obey scripture, and restrain him from being arrogant with his subjects so that God would bless him. Now, since David had heeded Deuteronomy 17, 8 to 20, his lifestyle had become consistently upright, to where even God had noticed its consistency of righteousness in his eyesight, or in front of or conspicuous to God. David used the word neged again, this time of God. David had held the scriptures conspicuously in front of him, so God had noticed conspicuously in front of himself that David had been consistent. So God says, all right, he's going to be consistent. I'm going to consistently help him. So we're getting down to the nuts and bolts of consistency with the Lord. Since God himself is perfectly righteous in his dealings with everybody, whether they're upright or sinful, God's own consistent character required that he consistently help a consistently upright David. You see, if a believer decides that he's going to be consistently exposing himself to scripture so that as an effect of that he's becoming consistently upright in his walk, God's going to take note of that and says, hey, I'm going to consistently help this guy or this lady, whoever the situation may be, because my nature requires that I do that. And God's very, very delighted consistently to help his people. So accordingly, God marvelously delivered David from all his enemies throughout his life, verses 28 through 31. It's just amazing how David wrote in verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God enlightens my darkness. For by you I've run through a troop, and by my God I've leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save our Lord, or who is a rock save our God?" Just amazing. Big lesson here. God had greatly and consistently delivered David from all of his foes in a marvelous lifelong series of deliverances because David had lived a consistently upright life as a result of keeping God's word consistently in front of himself, conspicuously so, by daily exposing his heart and mind to the reading of Scripture. I would highly recommend that for every Christian. Read from it. Maybe you don't have much time to read like a chapter a day. That's all right. Pick out the book, like a book of Proverbs. Pick a proverb. Pick something that you can think about during the day and just go through it. If it's a rush job, go ahead, pick a proverb. But I tell you what, there's nothing like the Word of God. In fact, my wife and I have a proverb. We have a proverb that we've put on our refrigerator with all, we got lots of stuff in the refrigerator, the magnets, you know the number. And man alive, that proverb, we've had that there 10, 15 years, and we're still getting blessings from that thing. Man. So the Word of God is powerful. We need to use it. Now, the first thing we need to do before we can apply all this and we get into the conclusion section is we need to come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in our service this morning or on the phone or in the MP3 recording who as yet has not made the decision personally to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But just in case, I want to give you this information. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and all of us have come short of the glory of God. And as a result of that, all of us, if left to ourselves, will end up eventually in the lake of fire experiencing the wrath of God. But God loved us. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Substitutional atonement. So, if we trust in Jesus Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, we are given eternal life by God and we come into a relationship with God. And I would heartily recommend, if you haven't made this decision to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, to come into a personal relationship with him, I would urge you to do so. The sooner the better, because then you can take advantage of all the promises that God has in his word for you. Then, assuming that we know Christ as our Savior, to acquire God's consistent help in our lives, may we keep saturating our hearts and our minds with God's written word, what will affect our attitudes and actions to obey the Lord and to rely on his Holy Spirit for the power to keep doing so for blessing. Now, God's word has directives for us on dealing with each one of the issues of need that we mentioned in our introduction. And I want to apply the word of God to these issues that we brought up. First of all, untroubling leaders like Vladimir Putin, Osama bin Laden, Adolf Hitler, Xi, and even President Biden, Proverbs 21:1 claims that God controls the hearts of leaders to make them much like a farmer controls where irrigation water goes in a garden. When I was a teenager, I worked in a situation where I was irrigating and helping somebody else irrigate the peach trees in Northern California. And we did it by flood irrigation because you don't want to use the sprinklers on the trees that can add disease. So we flooded and you would direct the water by way of either building up a little levee or opening the levee, and you could flood a whole area. You had to be careful and you had to be responsible, otherwise the water might end up in your neighbor's farm and then he could sue you. But it's true. God has tremendous control over the hearts of leaders, making much like a farmer controls where irrigation water goes in a garden. So we need to rest in God's sovereign oversight of world leaders. See, Vladimir Putin would not have begun an attack on Ukraine if God did not allow it. Now, it's not that God's telling him to do it, but God allowed it because he has some things in mind that he wants to achieve. Also, Scripture refers to the God of the Bible as the Lord of hosts. The Hebrew word is Sabaoth, we translate as Shabaoth. The Lord of armies, that's what literally Shabaoth means. He's a god of war who at times will even use wicked invasive armies to punish or to perfect his plan. Amos chapter 6 verse 8 talks about how God, the Lord of Sabaoth, is going to bring the Assyrians down to attack Israel. So we must realize that God is very involved in using or allowing military events to occur to fulfill his promises and purposes. We also know from Bible prophecy, and we've covered this many times in the past, Revelation 3:21 with Revelation 7:17 and Daniel chapter 9 verse 26, we know that in our era, God is allowing a mini great tribulation to occur to get Christians in the world to repent, so that we should not be surprised about facing such a time. Our task is to focus on God's calling for us until the rapture. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 15 and 17 says. And then God gives us personal peace. I believe the rapture is not far off. And so what God is doing, he's getting the church, he's waking the church up, he's getting our attention so that we will align with him so we can be prepared to meet our Lord. On Central Connecticut State University's move to make hired staff into Soviet-styled informers on gender-based discrimination, the Yale Law School's intolerance of religious rights with beliefs that do not condone LGBTQ orientations, and a Supreme Court nominee's fear of defining a woman due to woke ideology. Psalm 27, 1-3 directs us not to fear though an army be gathered against us. And Isaiah 26:3 has God promising to keep him who trusts in the Lord in perfect peace. Literally says, thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When you double the noun, you mean perfect peace. Also, so 2 Timothy 3:13 to 17 directs that we overcome growing deception and errant thinking by relying on Bible truth for all matters of faith and practice. We read from Leviticus 18:1 to 23 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11 that LGBTQ orientations are sin. Yes, in this church, we view LGBTQ orientations and actions as sin. The reason we do is because the Bible does. In addition, we do hold to the Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and Genesis 2, 20b to 24 definition of a woman. And a woman is an adult female human. Adam, when God had created Eve out of his rib, and God brought Eve to Adam, Adam says, this is a woman, she's been taken from a man. He actually identified her. She's a woman, she's been taken from a man. And she was a female, he was a male, because there was no counterpart for Adam, he was just a male. And God had created a female, an adult female woman for him. And from Adam and Eve came and sprang forth everybody who's here. If you trace your genealogy back far enough, we all came from Adam and Eve. It's an amazing thing, the human race is actually one race in the eyes of God. So Romans chapter 12, verse 18 tells us to seek to get along with the lost world around us. So what we need to do is we run into LGBTQ people all the time, and we're running into them more and more. Okay, God wants us to seek to get along with them. Obviously, we can't have spiritual fellowship because there's a break in fellowship there. But God wants us to love these people. They are people for whom Jesus Christ died. And he wants them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So whenever we can, we need to be a witness to these people. We need to love them in Christ as needy souls. On Congress's increasing the money supply, creating inflation for us in the world, God promises to meet our material needs regardless of what men do to us. So we must be content with what God provides and trust him to meet our needs. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Also, Eric Henderson, president of the annuity business segment at Nationwide Financial, claims, historically, being invested in equities, that's stocks, is really the only good way to stay ahead of inflation. Equities can be volatile, but for the long run, that has been a winning formula in the past. That's very interesting, because this is a man who works with annuities, and he would want to promote annuities, but he himself admits, when it comes to inflation, you got to stay with stocks. In addition, Ecclesiastes 11:4, the New International Version on investing, says, whoever watches the wind will not plant, Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. So there's a tremendous risk of suffering great loss and being too cautious in investing. This is why it always bothers me when someone says, well, the market's having problems, so I'm going to pull my money out of the market and just keep it in cash. Because what you're going to do is you're going to lose the power of your dollar if you just stay in cash all the time because of inflation. So God would thus urge us to invest in stocks with diversification long-term, especially for handling inflation. Obviously, we have to have some money in cash. You don't want to be cash poor. But there has to be that investment out there in order to keep up. Because these businesses that we're investing in, if we're investing properly, I like mutual funds because you can get managers to do that for you. But the businesses are the businesses that are gaining. And you want to join the group that is gaining and not just sit behind and lose out with inflation. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. And may we consistently expose our minds and hearts to Scripture for God's consistent help. I know last Sunday was our 40th anniversary, my wife and me here, and it's neat to see what God has done in the past. But I'll tell you what, I thank God for the fact that he gave me a job where I have to be in the Scriptures consistently. I have to prepare a message. It's been a tremendous blessing, because as you're constantly exposed to Scripture, your mind is constantly affected by Scripture. When your mind is affected, your heart is affected, and it affects your life. So I would urge people, please stay in Scripture as believers. Stay in Scripture, and the Lord will tremendously guide you and bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who clarifies the Word to our hearts and minds and makes it real and alive and causes us to be influenced by the power of God through his Word to obey it, so that we might be blessed. I would ask, Father, that if there's anyone in our service this morning who may be listening by way of the recordings who has not made the decision to trust in Christ as Savior, that they would do so today before the day is out, that they might have eternal life and peace with God and blessing. And I also ask, Father, that as believers, we would become preoccupied with the Word of God, that it would become part of our way of thinking, part of our lives for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.